Okay, our next speaker is Patricia Alexander, and she's from Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, and she's also the acting director of Bi-National Health Border Program.
Good morning, everyone. Actually, I wish I were still the acting director, but I was the acting director for our Bi-National Border Health Program for about a year and have since moved on. And what I'm going to talk to you about today is a project, pilot project that was done within the Bi-National Border Health Program called the Road to Health Initiative. And it was a creative strategy to increase health promotion and disease prevention to underserved Latino populations in Los Angeles County. See. So I have nothing to disclose for this presentation. Okay. So the learning objectives for this session would be to identify two avenues to facilitate health information education and communication among Latino populations, describe three strategic components of the Road to Health Initiative, and to identify two problems that arose for sustaining this project. For those of you that don't know about Los Angeles County, it houses 10 million people approximately right now, and is divided into what is called service planning areas. There are eight of them. How they were actually set up, I really don't know, but they are there, as you can see. Difference in sizes, but even though SPA 1, the Antelope Valley, is large, it has a very small population compared to the ones that are down in the center. SPA 4, which is where I work, has like 1.4 million people in a very small geographic area. So in 2004, according to the Los Angeles Census Bureau, 47% of Los Angeles residents were Latino. And according to, according to the California State Department of Finance, they expect that the Latino population will be on the rise, and that by the year 2050, the number of Latino residents will be expected to reach more than 7 million, which will be approximately 62% of the population. This is a chart that shows the variety of Latinos that are that are mixed within the population in Los Angeles. The Mexican population obviously is the largest because it's closest, but we have quite a few El Salvador, Guatemalan, Honduras, and all through Latin America. And of this population, 34% of the population in 2004 were uninsured. And 40% have unhealthy behaviors such as obesity, tobacco use, and physical activity, along with other chronic diseases as well. So the goal for this initiative was to inform and facilitate access to healthcare services to the Latin American population in Los Angeles County, to educate the Latin American population about health promotion and disease prevention and control. And in order to do that, we had several components to this initiative. The information dissemination to the Latin American population about free and low-cost health service and insurance in Los Angeles County, because many of the residents that come in know nothing about how they can access services or even if they qualify for anything. Provision of education to the Latin American community about risk factors, morbidity, mortality, and prevention health. And provision of educational materials for use in health education activities, developing collaborations with Latin American consulates, non-governmental agencies, TV stations, universities, and schools, giving technical assistance to the consulates that we were working with, and organization, administration, monitoring, and evaluation. So one of the things as far as our technical assistance that we were doing is we were working with these 10 consulates. Belize was one of the consulates, and this was one of the events that happened through the director of the program at the time. He was working with the Consul General of Belize and Charles Drew University. Those are the three people that are on that side of the picture. And after several years of working together, we came up with a cervical cancer screening mission that took place in 2007, where there were a combined group of physicians, nurse practitioners, lab technicians that went down to the country of Belize, where we worked with the Ministry of Health as well as with the Pan American Health Organization down there. And we screened 600 people, 600 women in 4.5 days. It was the first time ever that anything like that has ever happened in that country. So we were working, as far as our collaborations go, because this whole initiative was built on collaborative efforts with a variety of people. Our external partners were 10 Latin American consulates, the consulates of Belize, Colombia, Costa Rica, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, Nicaragua, and Peru. We work with community-based organizations, non-governmental organization, and private voluntary organizations, the media through TV stations, radio stations, and the press, and preschools, elementary schools, and universities. And what we did is we were actually doing health education at the consulates, and we used the CBOs, NGOs, and PBOs to connect clients to services. And we used the media to get out messages, and we used the preschools, elementary schools, and universities also to get out health education messages. This is a picture of some of our collaborative partners. We did a mega health fair once a year with one of our local CBOs that does does health fairs throughout LA County all year long. And then once a year, we combined all of our 10 consulates, and many of these are our consulates and their staff that would come to that event, promote it their countries as well as promote through their consulates the events that we were doing. We used mobile vans to do STD testing, HIV testing, cervical cancer screening, and we also used them for mammographies. Our internal partners that we used within the County of Los Angeles Public Health were our nutrition and physical activity programs, health education administration, environmental management, Office of Women's Health and STD programs, and our public health nurses, our service planning area nurses that would come in. They actually would do some of the events at our health fairs, but like a year ago, we had PHNs and nursing students that actually came into the consulates and were doing flu outreaches for the people that were waiting to be seen. So this is a slide of how we started with the project in 2002, and in a four-year period, the number of people that were seen through the consulates, which grew to, we started with like 7,000, and by year four, they were like 114,000. What happened is that we had people that would do 30-minute to one-hour presentations. And then there would be questions and answers at the end. And as people rotated through the consulates, then there would be new people, so they would continue on. And one year we were asking questions as to where people were actually accessing services. And the majority were accessing services at community clinics, and some through private doctors, but mostly through small community clinics or county clinics. And when the question was asked about health insurance coverage, 48% in this year and a half period had no health coverage whatsoever. And that was one of the reasons why this program was started, because we knew of the lack of people having qualifying, because a lot of the people that were coming through were illegal. But not only that, but not knowing where to go or that they even could qualify for services. one of the more difficult things that we had as a challenge was trying to confirm enrollment in insurance. We had people that would be at the consulates that could help with some of the enrollment if they were already enrolled, but because it was usually a one-time seeing of these people or showing them where they could go for enrollment, it was very difficult because we didn't have the staff or the manpower or the time to do the follow-up to find out if they actually were enrolled. Some actually did have enrollment, and some were just educated. So our venues for our presentations were the consulate waiting rooms, parents of school-aged children, health fairs and farmers markets, the Latin American TV stations, radio stations, and the press, and agencies that work with the Latino populations. This is a picture of some of our health fairs that we had, where we had some of our partners, the public health nurses, would be on one side where they were doing emergency preparedness. Our binational folks did health education on all kinds of different topics. This is a listing of many of our topics that we covered over through our education programs. Every presentation always consisted of healthcare access and public charge. Because one of the biggest things about public charge is that a lot of people were not sure what, they were afraid to access services because they thought it would take away from their being able to apply for their citizenship in the United States. And there are a lot of things that they can, that they could get without being taxed for that. So those are two topics with every presentation that was always, that have always been presented. And then we would rotate topics according to the type, to different months. We would combine maybe nutrition, physical activity, or diabetes, nutrition, those kinds of things. When it's flu season, we would talk about flu, covering your cough, not spreading, germs, domestic violence, cancer prevention. And then after the presentations, people could always come up and they could ask questions. We did do some pre-test and post-test counseling to try and find out how much of an education increase that we had. These were some sample questions on tuberculosis, where the first question was, if tuberculosis test comes out positive, does that mean that you surely have tuberculosis? The pre-test, only 38% of the population that were asked or took the test had the right answer, and post-test it went up to 53%. So we knew that by giving out this information that some of that education was actually sinking in with the people that were getting it. This shows some of the pre-test and post-test knowledge, the percentage. The red is the pre-test knowledge, the yellow is the post-test. And let's see, I'm going to pass quicker than that. The left bar, the red one? Oh, the percentage? No, it was just a percentage of how well the people that were asked the questions, if they were doing the pre-test and post-test screening, the percentage that the red was the percentage that had knowledge before they actually heard the presentation, and the yellow was the number after they heard the presentation. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, by the Dan Bolot, by country. Yes, because remember we were working with all of these different consulates. This also is by country, and it shows a percentage of increase in knowledge per consulate. So what were our lessons learned from this project? Facilitation to access healthcare services can be done effectively in the non-medical clinical settings. Examples of the consulates doing the farmers markets and in the schools. The Road to Health initiative at the consulates reflected a multiplying effect of dissemination of health information, reaching thousands of people in other areas. Example, people coming in would get the information and then they would take it home to their relatives and their friends that may not have gotten that information. It showed the importance of having multidisciplinary teams. that we're able to adapt to different scenarios and schedules. We found that we use volunteers sometimes. Sometimes they didn't come in. At some of the consulates, we would do maybe two consulates for half a day. If one had a small number of people, then we would move to another consulate where they were larger, or move back and forth between them according to the numbers that we had. And appropriate funding is not the limiting factor to launching interventions, but the political will by both parties is needed to make it all work. And administration, organization, and evaluation must be in place from the beginning to the end of the project, so that you can follow to see what happens with that. And these are a couple of the awards that we received. The one on the left is from Los Angeles County, from some work that we did at some of our health fairs. The one on the right came from when we were down in Belize doing the project that we did down there. And then our outcomes. Over the course of between 2002 and 2006, 6.1 million Hispanics were reached through educational TV messages weekly and monthly. 1.5 million Central Americans were reached through educational TV messages weekly and monthly. 130,000 people were informed and educated at 10 Latin American consulates in Los Angeles County just in 2006. One of four people reached at the consulates are accessing healthcare system. That was those were confirmed numbers. Two of four people were reached at the consulates were accessing healthcare system. That was estimated. There was a 100% increase above the objective of enrolling 10% of eligible individual into the public benefits programs. And the increase to the Healthy Kids enrollment went from 14.3% to 31%. An increase in knowledge after interventions went from 30% to 60%. 8,000 to 10,000 people were seen at health fairs per year. The mega health fair that I was talking about earlier we probably saw about 2,000 or 3,000 people through those events, and that was a yearly event that happened for 4 years in a row. The Mexican government assigned $30,000 to support the educational intervention Camino a la Salud and the Ventanilla de Salud in 2007. And through 2007, there was 100% engagement of the 10 Latin American consulate in health activities through their ministries of external relations and general consulates. And that's a picture of the team that we all worked together to make all of this stuff happen. So, are there any questions that I can answer? Yes.
How did you get them to include the money?
The $30,000? Well, the person, my ex-boss, is the one that put all that stuff together. Mexico is working with the United States through many of their Mexican consulates with this Ventanilla project, and it started with just Mexico and the United States. And I think from proof of the amount of work that was going in Los Angeles County, it showed the Mexican government that we needed to continue to maintain that project, especially in Mexico, because the Mexican consulate has so many people that come through there. I mean, there's just lots and lots of folks. So
I really had to put the project on your own first, demonstrate to them that it was effective.
Right. Right. We had other agencies that were working in Mexico, and as a matter of fact, the Mexican project is still going, and they're expanding it all the time. It's coordinated with their Binational Border Health Week, and at the time that we were working through this project, we had a group called Neighborhood Legal Services, who were also working with them, and they were helping to do the enrollment and the tracking. And so there were a lot of other agencies that were involved besides LA County. Other questions? No? Oh, yes.
I was just wondering if you've given any thought or did any kind of evaluation of the fact that they were in the setting and how that setting might have been perceived as a safer setting. Information because we've worked with mobile consulates. They don't have any
Right. Yeah. Would they do that
they
here too? Right.
The consulate. So I was just wondering if there's anything about that or did it in comparison to other kinds of outreach
I think that we felt at the time, because people that come into the consulates are usually not there to come in for health education. But we, after talking to the consulates that were there, and many of the consul generals don't know a whole lot about education, don't even know where to send their clients for healthcare services, that was part of the reason we decided that this might be a good venue. And after doing it for a while, the consulates really liked having us there because it was a perfect venue for us. People are already coming in. It's a safe place for them because they know that they're coming for whatever services that they need. We're just adding to the services or giving them information that they may not already have. So we didn't advertise that we were doing it. We just did it. And most of the people that we talked to were very appreciative of what we were doing. Yes. Due to funding, there's a very little bit of it still going on, but not to the extent that it was when you see all the numbers that we did here. There's a very little bit going at where we're actually doing some of that intervention at the consulates, Mexico the most, but none of the outreach, the TV stations, that kind of stuff, we're not doing that anymore. Actually, no, we haven't. The county kind of is going in different directions, so they're looking at things a little differently. Yes. Well, we had the non-governmental, the other agencies, the CBOs that were attached when we were doing the screenings, and we had places we could refer them to. And as they came in for the screening, we got their information to try and contact them if they were positive. So our Office of Women's Health does cervical cancer screening throughout all of LA County, and not just for the Latino population. And we didn't do them at the consulates. They were most of those screenings were done at our health at fairs or other events that were out in the communities, and we just brought other people together to reach them. Yeah.
Was there any problem with people being afraid of the Migra, the Border Patrol?
Not where we were. I mean, we have that issue now, but when they came into the consulates, they were there for a specific reason. So it wasn't because of the Border Patrol, because the Border Patrol would go through the streets, but not at the consulates. No, there have been lots of concerns in LA with the Border Patrol coming and talking to people and that kind of stuff and taking them when they shouldn't have been.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. Right, absolutely. But the consulates tend to be a safe place. It's like, people would come for, they come to get not just passports, but for other reasons.
They
and
have
so,
to walk out the door.
I'm sorry?
They have to walk out the door.
Yeah, but they did. Yeah. But the Border Patrol didn't come into the consulates to clean the people out.
No,
yeah, no.
Is there some sort of like unspoken that you don't do that, the Border Patrol?
That's neutral territory.
But like you say, once they come out the door, that covers that.
Yeah, but in what I have seen, I haven't seen that happen.
That's
so
uncool.
And our Mexican consulate is huge. It is like a whole building unto itself and stuff.
Yeah,
but no.
Probably put up a lot of fuss in LA.
Yeah. Yes.
Just a comment. I was very impressed with your intervention to find this the lead consulate, and that's why I asked about the ex-access, because obviously you made a terrific dent in terms of raising the awareness about various health information.
Right.
From Texas, I appreciate the fact that you can ask very key questions about CGM.
Well, thank you. And that's what we were trying to do is, number one, raise awareness around issues that people did not know about. It started with access to health care because so many folks in L.A. County don't have insurance, don't know where to go for services. Public charge is a big issue because they don't know what they can access without getting into trouble. And so those were the two main things that they started with. And then they moved from there to a variety of other topics. The STDs, HIV and AIDS, TB, cancer prevention, and coming up with those kinds of lists for people to go for services if they wanted to know where they could go, giving them that information. Yes?
Do the conflicts provide information on public charge?
They should. We have information that we have left there, and I'm not 100%. I think Mexico for sure does. Yes, but that was one of the things that we were trying. But again, when you go to the consulates, they're not necessarily thinking about health issues. They're usually there because of passport issues or other legal issues, and not necessarily health. That's true. That's true. That's true, but I'm not sure that they all do, unless they're asked.
I'm just going to comment on that. I'm involved with all the projects that the Mexican government does with the Ventanilla de Salud.
Yes.
And not all the consulates have a Ventanilla de Salud, some of them they have, but they have to have an organization that funds that, because they receive funds from other organizations for that health information, and the consulates have, because it is part of the Mexican government, cannot receive that. So first of all, it has to be
so they have to use a fiscal aid.
Right.
That's one for sure. But one of the conditions that they had is that they had to provide information about all the services that are in the community. So the person in charge of that health window that is called
Right.
But they have to know the resources available for health for people that are eligible for some services. On a tree scale or an RFP for others, and they do they spread the word between the community. So it's been a safe.
And they're all, yeah. It is expanding. I think it started with San Diego and Mexico in the very beginning, and it started with their Binational Week, which just ended.
Yes.
And with Binational Week, originally it was just Mexico and the United States. And then last year, they expanded it to, no, 2 years ago, they expanded it to Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Colombia. And this year, they added Honduras
and
Ecuador and Nicaragua.
Yes.
So, exactly.
Some other countries are starting to adopt the model. Colombia and Ecuador are moving forward, and El Salvador is
as well. And in Los Angeles, the consulates that we work with would like to continue with the Ventanilla as Mexico has, because Mexico has so many people and they had so many agencies involved that they've got their Mexican insurance, that the IMS that's involved, and we had a group called a legal services group that was also involved. And so there were a lot of more agencies involved there, whereas the other nine that we were working at, it was just us. We would go in the beginning we were going 5 days a week for maybe an hour at a time, and then it dropped down to less, obviously, because we don't have the staff or the funding, we just don't have the staff to do it. So we would try and make sure that we have the resources, and we've given those consuls, even though we're not there, resource information so that if they have questions, if they need help, they can call us and they can ask us to try and help their clients find where they need to go for services. But many, I know El Salvador and Guatemala both are interested in putting together the same kind of a project that Mexico has, and it's really starting to expand. It's a very needed thing for the Latino population in general, and then using the TV, the Latino TV station also helps. Mexico in Los Angeles County, the New Mexican consulate has just started doing a weekly TV slot with different messages. And we found a smaller station that we were going to the Central American population that they could reach by TV, where we would do little help, like a two or three questions in a 5-minute time slot, where they would just get the messages out. Different, depending on any, and it changed all the time. It could be on almost any topic, on health topics, just so that they would understand, you know, because so many people don't know. Absolutely. But after talking to some of the consulates, actually what they've said is, because a lot of people are thinking that computers are the way to go, talking to the consulates, the one-to-one with the people is really the best way to do it. And I know it's not necessarily the most economical way to do it, but that seems to be the most effective way. So, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
Any other questions? We still have time.
Yeah.
Celeste, did you see Erwin in the back? He's in the back in the corner.
Thank you for the great presentation.
Oh, good! I'm glad you like it.
Do you have have you published this?
Oh. No, this has been a very controversial project.
Oh, I understand.
I hate to say that, but unfortunately, the higher ups in the health department don't think it's a really productive use of time. And my goal for this program, and I didn't share that particularly because that would just get me into trouble, but I'm hoping that anybody could go and do this in any part of the country. Mexico, I think, is the hardest country to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
My boss is the one that actually created this program. He was in this, used to work, he's from Guatemala, and he worked with PAHO for years. And so it was his idea to work with the consulate. And so now, because of the changeover of the public health system and staffing and all that kind of stuff, they've really cut way back. We've got one person only doing health education. We're not doing the health fairs anymore. We're not doing the TV stations anymore. And it's been, and for me, I'm sitting here going, I'm trying to get a nonprofit off the ground so I can go back in and do a little bit of that. Because it's just so rewarding, and I've learned so much from working with those folks.
Yeah, I think if you get this published, it will be beneficial for
I should talk to him, let him publish it.
Yeah.
But thank you. I mean, I really wanted to do this because I always felt that it was a really good project. And yes, some days I would sit at the police consulate because I don't speak Spanish, and no one would come in because it's a very tiny consulate. But what happened beyond that, like that trip to Belize, that's how I ended up in Belize with that cervical cancer screening mission. We've done several to Guatemala and to Costa Rica through that. But the health department in LA is more concerned about what's happening here in Los Angeles, not about what's happening elsewhere. So for me, I mean, I've had to pay my own way to go, which was fine. I didn't care because it was very, I learned a lot. It's just, and working with some of these consulates, they really, like Guatemala and El Salvador are the next two biggest to Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And they're huge. I mean, they don't have, obviously, the volume of folks at Mexico is like hundreds and hundreds a day.
Yeah.
But those two countries have lots and lots of people that come in. They're extremely poor. Most of them do not have health insurance, don't know how to get it, don't know where to access services, don't even know where to access screening. So if we can get those messages out, however we can get them out to the population, and I had people that would come in and say, yeah, I have insurance, but my neighbor down the way doesn't. So let me take the information, I'm going to give it to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that somebody that listens to this or sees it will decide that they can do it in their state too, because they can. last year when I was running the program through the country of El Salvador, we had nursing students to come through, and so we put together a flu outreach. It was at the end of flu season. Didn't have a lot of people, but the consulate was so excited that they shared it with all the other consulates from El Salvador and the country, and others were going, well, how can we do that?
Excuse me, that was good.
Thank you. So is yours.
Yeah.
You're
welcome.
So it was like,
pleasure to hear you speak.
They can do it too. They just have to go to the health department. But LA's health department is so huge, it's very intimidating. And for me as a liaison, my whole goal is connecting people to services. So it fits right in for me. Thank you. I wish we could keep it going.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for inviting me. You too.
Yeah. I understand.
When the funding comes, I'm hoping to get out. I want doing a promotora model in outlying areas.
Wow.
Education
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And then putting a mobile van in there to connect them.
Wonderful.
That's my vision.
That's a beautiful vision.
And having been to Belize and doing that Belize screening, the woman that helped us was the head of the Belize, was the head of the cancer group there. And my ex-boss is from Guatemala, and I was down there with him working on this for 5 days. And I had done another mission with with Cedar Sinai, when they do their medical mission.
Okay.
It's doable.
Yeah.
And knowing the consulates, right now the consulate staff from El Salvador and having met people from El Salvador going, yeah, we're looking for happen. It's like, I just need the money.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and my thought was not necessarily taking the folks from here down there to do, well, maybe to start to do the education down there. But getting the people down there to be the ones that staff the vans and using the med schools and that to staff the vans. And then working with PAHO to get the statistics into there because they don't always get those numbers. Okay.
Yes, and I felt bad. I don't have my
gosh.
I
wanted
to make sure that I have.
But
you
have
to
yes, she did.
Okay.
But
I get back to the office.
Okay.
And my last name is Haskins.
Okay. Yeah, and you can get
I'm a researcher working with Dr. Elizabeth. She's
actually a friend of mine was working at UCLA Hospital.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to her a long time, but I would have never gotten involved with this stuff if it hadn't been for my ex-boss and my
wow.
Because it's amazing
how
people,
yes.
We don't
understand
it at the time.
Well, you may know them. I don't know the Calderon brother. Have you heard of Ricardo Calderon?
Familiar.
And Roberto?
I don't know.
Looking at the the number of people that we reach. The numbers.
Exactly.
But did it make an impact for the community?
Yeah. Jingle, like a baby.